While everybody's lining up to throw a pity party for Daniel Jones, has anybody for once just thought about the guys in that same locker room with him?
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. This is Theo Dorsey. It is Theoretically Speaking on a Wednesday. Our first hump day post week one of the NFL season. We got a lot of fun behind us and plenty more to go in the National Football League. We got Dolphins Bills literally tomorrow night. Literally tomorrow night at Hard Rock Stadium, we have Dolphins versus Bills. It is incredible how fast this football machine gets going in the fall. We wait so much, all of the anticipation, all of the down days during the summer where we have to hear these idiotic arguments back and forth. And now we're back into football season and we're in full swing. There's just like you never missed a beat. Dolphins Bills tomorrow night, Thursday night football. We get the aquamarine throwback uniforms from the Dolphins. We get a new look Bills team with a guy in. I mean, come on. When you're looking at Josh Allen right now and people are already starting to call for MVPs, I even heard somebody say that maybe he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. We gonna see. We're going to see tomorrow night what they're able to do against those Miami Dolphins. Who you won't see today here on Theoretically Speaking, on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, is Christian Cat. C-Cat is on the road. His mystery vacation is underway. He texted me, actually, the destination of where he's at. He texted me where he's headed to. I'm going to reveal the destination in the happy hour later on with Tina because I am absolutely impressed. I first thought that when C-Cat went on this mystery vacation, he gave a travel agency a bunch of money for him and his girlfriend to go on a mystery vacation. They had no clue where they would be going. They gave certain parameters on, okay, we don't want to go here. We don't want to go here. We've been here before. And literally their vacation was at a whim. They pulled up to the Miami airport this morning and they found out on the spot where they were going after they packed and everything. And I got to say, he came up. He and his girlfriend, Deanna, came up. So in his place, while C-Cat is vacationing in parts unknown to you, is my guy, Damian Perez, pulling up on the ones and twos. D, how are we looking, man? Are we good? Are we live on YouTube? Is everything cranking on that side?
Everything's cranking. Everything's rolling. I got big shoes to fill today, but I'm going to try my best. You know, my twin, as they were saying in the chat the other day.
Yeah.
He's out of town, but like I said, I'll try my best to fill those shoes.
They said, so they did say, y'all, that's your twin. They said that you and C-Cat resemble each other a bit, which I've never seen. I didn't see. But how do you feel about this, though, Damian? Last show, literally yesterday, right as we were about to get off, C-Cat revealed to me and Tina that he says he feels like he looks weird. He said he looks weird to people. Do you feel like you look weird?
I feel like you just got to get used to yourself being on camera.
Yeah.
Christian, C-Cat, he's been a radio guy his whole life, so I feel like just being on camera is weird for him. I'm not going to lie. There was an adjustment period for me, but I feel like I'm adjusted.
You're good. You're confident.
Look good. You're ready to rock, man.
You're ready to rock, man. And I know we're ready to rock today. And again, when you look good, I don't have to feel bad for you because that confidence flows right through that glass to me here as we kick it on Theoretically Speaking. But speaking of just feeling bad for people, I think football is the gladiator sport, right, that we have here in America. It feels like there's never any punches drawn. There's never anything held back, especially once players strap up their cleats, get on the gridiron, and get after it. And one of the weirdest things came out of that drubbing of the Giants at their own home stadium at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings 28-6 over the weekend. And it wasn't just the fact that fans lined up outside of MetLife Stadium to boo Daniel Jones. I don't put that above any New York Giants fan, especially if you've been suffering through the Daniel Jones experiment out there in New York with Brian Daboll. But what did shock me, absolutely shocked me, was seeing that Jonathan Greenard, the new pickup for the Minnesota Vikings, the linebacker slash edge rusher, they got him from the Texans last year. He was on WFAN, and he said that during the game, as they were attacking, putting pressure on that Giants offense, leaving Daniel Jones, number 8, no options to advance the ball, and then, of course, they had the pick 6 as well. He said that they were starting to feel bad for Daniel Jones. In the midst of battle, they were starting to feel bad for Daniel Jones. And I liken it to exactly what happened last year after week one when you had Micah Parsons, edge rusher for the Dallas Cowboys, following that 40-point shutout of the Giants to open up the NFL season. He said he felt bad for Daniel Jones, too. He said, man, I can't believe they left him out there to continue to take a beating. The Giants' situation right now is so bad, centering around that quarterback position and their inability to protect him, his inability to perform at the level that you would want a starting quarterback to perform at in the NFL, especially one in his sixth season. The situation is so dire, Damian, that the opponent whose literal job it is, who all week from Monday all the way leading up until Sunday's kickoff, they were being told by all of their coaches and staff meetings and teams meetings and position breakouts, hey, get after that guy, make his life a living hell, take the ball away, and get some points for us. Those guys who are being preached at, who are being having that kind of messaging drilled into their head, are feeling bad for them. I mean, how horrible does your situation have to be where the guys you're going at war against have remorse, have sympathy?
I think that's the first time since I've been watching the NFL that I've ever heard a player like on the other side feel bad for the quarterback on the other side. You're supposed to be, like you said, trying to rip his head off. But everything is stacking up against Daniel Jones, whether it's the pressure of them getting a brand new O-line, getting him a wide receiver one, and we've seen the sample size of other quarterbacks, what they've done when they got the wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Everything is stacking up against Daniel Jones, whether it's Saquon Barkley in Philly. Everything we can talk about as far as pressure, it's all stacking up on Daniel Jones.
Though it feels like the world is kind of caving in around him, right? The fans are against him. He has players in his own locker room who are undermining him. He has his own performances that he has to live with. But the one thing he does have to fall back on in the midst of all of this is a heap load of cash. $160 million off that contract he signed a couple of years ago when the Giants invested in him all based off of 1 year. All based off of one mediocre year as a quarterback where they beat the Vikings in the playoffs. Daniel Jones is set for life. Generational money. Of course, he's likely not seeing through the end of that deal. The back end that's not guaranteed is going to go to waste because they are likely cutting that guy or trading him at the end of this season. But Daniel Jones at least has that financial security. He was able to secure it as a quarterback out of Duke, going to the Giants as a top 10 pick. He at least got the bag.
Shout out to his agent.
So, and again, yes, shout out to his agent. Also, shout out to poor decision-making from Joe Shane in the Giants front office. We won't get into that today, but what I will talk about is I don't feel bad for Daniel Jones. I don't have the same amount of sympathy that you have for Daniel Jones as I would for guys that have to, again, go out into those practices with the New York Giants. Guys that have to strap up their helmets and shoulder pads and hop out there on that terrible turf that they have and try and play football games alongside Daniel Jones. In the NFL, and really in football in general, at any level, you don't really have a shot to win if you don't have a guy at quarterback that you at least feel confident in. I'm not saying you have to have the elite of the elite. I'm not saying the guy has to be a Pro Bowler, an MVP candidate, or maybe at the college level, a Heisman candidate, a conference player of the year, honoree. But you have to at least have a dude that can move the sticks when you need him to. A dude who has a level of leadership that has other people around him buying in. And I feel bad. I am starting to feel football bad for every single guy that has to suit up for the New York Giants, most specifically the number one option out in New York. The prize of the draft for the Giants and Joe Shane. The guy that had Brian Daboll just literally foaming at the mouth when he was talking about him on Hard Knocks this offseason, and that's Malik Nabers. Y'all feel bad for Daniel Jones. I feel terrible for Malik Nabers, who has to go out there and as a number one option is a guy that's coming off of a season with LSU, who he had the best of all worlds at LSU. Malik Nabers is lining up on the outside at LSU. He looks across the field. He sees Brian Thomas Jr., who also went in the first round of this draft to the Jacksonville Jaguars, so the defense can't put too much pressure on him. Oh, and who did he have slinging the ball to him, Damian, at LSU last year?
Jaden Daniels,
who not only won the Heisman, but also got selected number 2 overall in this past NFL draft to the Washington Commanders, had a really good debut, even though they got blown out. I can't wait to see what he looks like in the league. But
who they will be playing on Sunday, by the way.
Yeah.
Washington, New York.
Yeah. He'll have to play against Jaden Daniels. And here's the saddest part, Damian. The reason why I really do feel bad for Malik Nabers and why I feel like he's the one that should be drawing everybody's pity party, everybody's tears, when you're like, oh, I can't believe this guy has to go through this. Before the NFL draft, Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers, who were teammates in Baton Rouge, who put up prolific points and statistics in Baton Rouge for LSU. In fact, Jaden Daniels helped Malik Nabers become the all-time receptions leader at LSU, a school that has had the likes of Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, they, if not Ohio State, can claim to be wide receiver U. He also had the most receiving yards. So yards and receptions leader all-time for LSU, that is Malik Nabers. He goes from playing with that guy, and before the draft, he and Jaden Daniels had a bet, a little friendly wager. They said, hey, let's put something down on each other here for who gets Offensive Player of the Year. Reasonable bet. A reasonable bet from two guys who are going to be top 10 picks, two guys who have a lot of confidence in themselves and who were going to be looking to get a lot of opportunity going into the NFL. After Malik Nabers was drafted to the New York Giants and he showed up for rookie camp, you know what one of the first things he did, Damian?
What was that?
Called off that bet.
Smart man.
He got
Smart
one man. Look at Daniel Jones in person. He said, brother, I'm good. He said, Jaden Daniels, I love you, man. We had a great time together. I want to be a man of my word, but ain't no way in hell I'm winning Rookie of the Year when I have to count on this dude to get the football for me. And this is not Daniel Jones hate. This is more so an indictment on the New York Giants front office for making a poor decision on a quarterback that had 1 year that was slightly above mediocre and a team that overachieved because of the perceived genius of Brian Daboll. But this is also just saying, I feel terrible for Malik Nabers. Now he has to answer questions from the media in New York every single week where he's a 21-year-old, right? He's a Ferrari at receiver. He's used to getting, you know, pelleted with targets. He's used to being the center of an offense and being electric and being able to be a guy that gets rack yards and just all over the field, one of the fastest, strongest receivers we'll see. Gets a lot of comps to Jamar Chase, actually. And now he's in a position where his quarterback can't get him the ball. His offensive line, though improved, doesn't seem like it's good enough to even give Daniel Jones enough time to give him the ball. And that perceived genius in Brian Daboll, as you're making your dreams come true and going to the Giants and thinking, hey, I have a great play caller as a head coach, he's left answerless. Take a listen to this. Brian Daboll, when asked literally today, how do you get Malik Nabers more involved in the passing offense? He only had 5 receptions for 56 yards in week 1. Here's Daboll.
Throw him the ball.
Really?
Were there times that you thought the ball was going there and Daniel directed it otherwise?
No, I thought Daniel, again, we talked, I don't want to live too much in last week. We're moving on, but, you know, move him around like we do. And he's the first read, he's the first read. If he's the second read, second read, but you know, continue to work with him, and when he's open, give it to him.
Yeah, when he's open, give it to him. I'll clue you in on this that much, Damian. He's open a lot. I mean, that's why he's so good. He gets open a lot, and the Giants are going to have to find ways to force feed him the ball because there's not a lot of other options in New York right now. But also, there's no confidence in the guy that they have slinging the pill around. And this time next year, my hope is the Giants can at least have another guy in there. There's this draft coming up. There's a lot of different players in college football right now that look promising, that can beat quarterbacks. The guy at Texas, Quinn Ewers, looks really good.
Mahomes Jr.
Dylan Raiola's only a freshman, though. He's only a freshman.
He looks good, man.
He looks ready to go today. If Dylan Raiola,
not only is he showed up against Colorado, which we know the bright light,
that's easy,
the spotlight is the brightest. That I feel like that was the challenge from that game, managing the spotlight.
The spotlight, yeah.
And he managed pretty well. So as a freshman, he showed that he has that maturity.
He is cosplaying Mahomes, which is a little bit weird to me. And I think he needs to maybe dial that back a bit because it's a little too glazy. But if you're going to cosplay, if you're going to mimic, if you're going to emulate any other guy in football right now, why not have it be the guy who literally can only be compared to Tom Brady? There's no quarterback in the NFL today that you should even put in the same sentence with Patrick Mahomes, until proven so. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, that's the only guy in the conversation, and Dylan Raiola's trying to mimic his game around Mahomes, so I get it.
Smart man.
But back to the original point here, Daniel Jones, who's in his sixth year with the Giants,
I really do think that with Brian Daboll and his ability to scheme up an offense and maybe teach him, if Dylan Raiola had a full off season with the New York Giants and got to train and practice, I bet like hell Malik Nabers wishes that he would have had a guy who's a freshman at Nebraska and Dylan Raiola at quarterback for him instead of Daniel Jones. And that's the sad part for the New York Giants, and that's why I don't feel bad for him.
And all he would have to do is beat out Daniel Jones. I'm sure the expectations aren't too much.
That's not, you don't have to beat out Daniel Jones. He's beating himself out. Since he signed that four-year, $160 million deal, Damian, he's thrown two touchdown passes. He's thrown three pick sixes in that same time.
And he pretty much booted Saquon Barkley out of town.
Yeah, because you can't pay him if you're going to be paying this guy that much money. They didn't feel like they had enough space in their salary cap, which they did, to pay Saquon Barkley. And you literally gifted the Eagles the version of Christian McCaffrey that the 49ers got a couple years ago from the Panthers. So good job to that, doing that within your division, Giants.
A younger version.
A younger and a guy that's had less touches to date than McCaffrey did going into that. So that's an extreme situation as well.
And he's in the division.
In the division. Even though the Giants, it doesn't matter who's in their division right now because they're likely going to line up on Sunday and lose to whoever they play. But who in sports do you feel bad for? Who in football specifically, either their situation is so dire, their play has been so horrendous, or maybe you just are a person with a really big heart and it's full of sympathy. Who do you feel bad for? Because for me, it's Malik Nabers and really anybody else who has to go out there and put their bodies on the line, put their effort on the line, sweat, blood, and tears, knowing that you likely don't have a chance to win that football game because you got number 8 at quarterback and you're stuck with him. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number for the Baptist Health Hotline. Hit us up. Tell us who in sports are you starting to feel bad for? Right? People are piling on, maybe. The situation's obviously not great, and you're just like, you know what? This dude deserves a break. We're all human beings. We got sympathy. We got empathy in our hearts. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. It is a day of sympathy. It is a hump day here on Theoretically Speaking. And as Jonathan Grenard, literally the guy whose job it was to make Daniel Jones's Sunday a living hell, as he was actively doing so, admits on WFAN that he and his Vikings teammates, by the way, led by defensive coordinator Brian Flores, who's been doing a heck of a job out there in Minnesota, he and his Viking teammates literally felt bad for the guy. Was beating him so bad, he started to feel a little sympathy. Almost like me sometimes when I'm whooping somebody in a video game or something. You know, I'm on Madden and I'm pouring it on. Another pick six. He's getting frustrated. He's throwing four verts at me all the time. I'm reading that. I mean, I'm doing cover two, man. I'm picking that off as well. Like, it gets ugly sometimes. You start to feel a little bad. But you got to keep going.
I mean, the Vikings do have a good season. Just to read you off some stats from last year. Since week 8, when Kirk Cousins went down, they were number 1 in touchdowns allowed with 5, number 1 in shutouts, 4th in points per game at 16, 4th in rushing yards per game at 79, and so on. So they do have a good defense. They did, and they still do with Brian Flores. He likes to bring the rush. But still, I still don't think that factors into how bad the Giants looked. I think they'll look bad against the worst defense in the league.
I think, look, I just got Mike Jones here. Who? Mike Jones, our teammate here at ESPN West Palm, just tweeted out probably the craziest take of all time for me, a college freshman over a starting quarterback. And you talked about how great that Vikings defense is. That can't be undermined in this. They did go up against a great unit. The Vikings will likely have a top 5 defense by the end of this year. Mark my words. Based on what they did last year, the additions they were able to make, as well as a second season of Brian Flores getting those guys all on the same page, I expect them to be good on defense. And then Kevin O'Connell will try to make his way with Sam Darnold in that offense, which, I mean, they're off to a really good start. That NFC North, it's going to get interesting. He's saying, I got the worst take, or maybe one of the craziest takes of all time, a college freshman over a starting NFL quarterback. Well, I know it's crazy to think Dylan Raiola of Nebraska could actually be an improvement from a guy who has started in the league in Daniel Jones, but given that circumstance, I'm giving specifically for the New York Giants this year, specifically, I would think that, and I don't think I'm alone on this, I think Giants fans themselves would rather have that 19-year-old quarterback at Nebraska and Dylan Raiola than Daniel Jones, who we know who he is. We know what he is at this point. He's a turnover machine. He's a pick six machine. I mean, he couldn't do any worse than Daniel Jones. What would be the issue? What would be the harm in putting a guy like Dylan Raiola? It's not like he's as slender as Shedeur Sanders.
He would be on a rookie contract.
I mean, literally. I mean, I guess his NIL deal is probably pretty stacked up at Nebraska. You just let him play for the NIL deal. I don't know. Like, obviously, it's a hypothetical. It's a ridiculous question to pose because of the health issues, right? You wouldn't want to put a kid out there in front of these grown men. But, like, what would go wrong? Daniel Jones got injured for the season last year. So if he does that, if that's the only thing you fear is him getting hurt, well, Daniel Jones is going to do that too. Or he's shown to do that in the past. And I guarantee you he wouldn't be as fooled as Daniel Jones seems to continue to be by defenses in the NFL if you gave him a full offseason with an offensive genius like Brian Daboll and you let him scheme some stuff up for it. You make it simple. You keep it simple. The dude is out here emulating Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure he can get by better than what Daniel Jones is out there doing. And I don't know who the hell he's emulating. I don't know who he's cosplaying out there. He's really cosplaying the opposing team. He's really wearing a jersey for the enemy, the way he keeps throwing the ball to him. But again, this is not me lining up to take shots at Daniel Jones. The Giants fans are doing that enough. This is more so about Daniel Jones getting all of this sympathy, not just from fans. Tina, who pulled up for the happy hour yesterday, said she felt bad for Daniel Jones. And then you got his opposition that are literally lining up in the trenches trying to get after him, saying they feel bad for him actively. And I have to be the one with the smarts to say, why do y'all feel bad for this dude who's sitting on this load of cash when you got guys who are trying to play for contracts in the NFL who are being held back by poor quarterback play, and it has to stay that way because you paid the guy so much money. 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. Who do you feel bad for in football today? Because for me, it's Malik Nabers, who went from catching deep balls and slot fades from Jaden Daniels all year in Baton Rouge, and now is in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And he's going to be freezing his tail off this winter as he's, looking over his head as Daniel Jones sells another one over the sideline. We got George and Delray Beach. He joins us here on Theoretically Speaking on a Wednesday. George, what's happening with you? Do you think I'm as crazy as Mike Jones thinks I am for saying Dylan Raiola would be better than Daniel Jones right now for the Giants?
Little bit. Is he going to have time to throw? Number one, does he have a running game? Number two, that is a horrible team, and I'm a Giants fan.
So you're giving Daniel Jones the excuses of, you're right, they improved the offensive line. It doesn't look much better. The running game is at a bit of a deficit right now, and that's partially their fault for letting Saquon Barkley walk. But do you really have confidence, given that those are the circumstances, right? We know what the circumstances are. Do you have confidence that Daniel Jones is going to give you any more of a chance to win in those circumstances, which we've seen? And he's failed at miserably, then yeah, sure, a little 19-year-old kid who doesn't know right from wrong, but again, I'm saying with a full training camp, with a full offseason with Brian Daboll, he would be able to maybe do some things. You still think Daniel Jones will be better than Dylan Raiola?
Will he have time to throw? Will he have a running game? I mean,
no.
If the ghost of Wyatt Tittle came back, he wouldn't have time to throw either.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't have time to throw. He wouldn't have a running game. So you're saying this is not on Daniel Jones. You want the Giants to give him another chance and come back next year.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I appreciate the call, George. I appreciate the call. That's actually shocking for me to hear, because even when Daniel Jones had some things in place that looked like it was going well for them, it wasn't like he blew anything out of the water. It wasn't like he was a guy that other teams were claiming, oh, man, we got to get ourselves a guy like Daniel Jones in here. Like, he inched that team through. Brian Daboll schemed up things in a offense that was catered to Daniel Jones to do well, and he still only came out with like 15 touchdowns. That was a Saquon Barkley-led offense. That's the thing that's forgot about that 1 year that the Giants did do well. It was because Saquon spent the most of that year healthy, and they were able to revolve it around him. Obviously, it's hyperbole to want a freshman quarterback to come in there and ball for the Giants. But it also is just more so a highlight of just how bad it's been for Daniel Jones and just how shaken his confidence is right now. I know who would have more confidence lining up for the Giants this off or this weekend against the Commanders. And again, I'll put my money on Dylan Raiola. Damian, you obviously feel like you're on the same side of the fence as Mike Jones and our guy George in Delray Beach. It just, to me, is like I can't feel like the Giants players in that same locker room would want to go through another season with that dude at quarterback.
I'm actually on your side. I think anything is better than Daniel Jones at the moment. I mean, he brought up the excuse of the O-line, the running game, which is fair.
They invested in the O-line.
He's right. But, I mean, last year, the backup, I forget his name, the chicken cutlets.
Oh, yeah. Tommy DeVito. Yeah.
I mean, he looked better than Daniel Jones in the short stint that he had. So, personally, I don't want anything to do with Daniel Jones next year. Anything is better, and let's go in a different direction.
When you've thrown more pick sixes than touchdowns, you can't keep blaming your offensive line in a run game that's absent.
He had 42 attempts, and he didn't even break 200 yards.
He's bad. And it's not his fault that he's bad. The Giants are the ones that reinvested in him. The Giants are the ones that keep trotting him out there. And when you have defenders on the other side saying, we feel bad for that guy, that's more telling to me than anything. Because that's not how football generally works. I've never seen, football players won't even have sympathy for their own teammates at times, let alone the opposition. 888-760-3776. We're still taking your calls. Who do you feel bad for right now in sports? For me, it's Malik Nabers. The guy cannot catch a break, literally, because he can't catch a pass because Daniel Jones is throwing them. On the other side, we bring in Evan Cohen, who, again, he's a former quarterback in high school. He might have been a better option than Daniel Jones. And it's not shade to Daniel Jones. It's just the status of what we got right now in the NFL. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike joining us on the other side. We'll talk some ball with him. We'll also get his thoughts on quarterbacks who have a shot still, but they're going to have to show us something in week 2, week 3, week 4 if we're really going to start believing. I'm going to give him a new game. It's called A Horse Apiece. He's going to tell me which side of the fence he stands on. That's Damian Perez in for CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3. And we're back here on a Wednesday on Theoretically Speaking. Can we pan that down? We'll pan that through the wire down just to give it a little breath, give it a little space, because I already know what I'm going to get from our next guest that's coming up here on a Wednesday. It's our first Wednesday after real NFL games have been played, not the preseason, but the regular season. I'm getting killed on Twitter and on the phone lines right now because I'm saying that Dylan Raiola, better option for the Giants today than Daniel Jones, but it does just feel like he's lost the confidence of the fan base, his own coaching staff. Brian Daboll says he has no answers for how he can get Malik Nabers more involved, and Nabers himself is already distancing himself from his quarterback. It just feels like a situation that's untenable, and I would hope for the rest of that Giants roster they find some kind of fix coming soon. Maybe the guy that has the solution, though, is the man who joins us weekly from Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. on weekdays here on ESPN 106.3. That's Evan Cohen, the Inevitable. What's happening with you on this Wednesday, Evan?
Well, okay, so I understand where you're going with this Dylan Raiola and Nebraska quarterback take. I think it is a leap to obviously go today,
yeah,
you know, that he's going to be better than Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones was so bad last week, I get it. I think historically he hasn't been as bad as people made him out to be. It's an interesting thing you're bringing up, the idea of a college freshman being ready to go in the NFL right now. I've seen it over the course of time. Like, Adrian Peterson was ready to play in the NFL day one in college.
Yeah.
I just don't know that you could do it as a college quarterback. I don't buy that part of it.
You're right. Here's the thing. It wasn't like I came in here today wanting to deliver that take. It just came up in the midst of conversation. And as I kind of said it, I was like, yeah, I do believe that the – the uninspiring play of Daniel Jones, his inability to throw the ball accurately. Like, if you gave Dylan Raiola, this was really what I said, and it got blown out of proportion. If you gave Dylan Raiola a full offseason, a training camp and everything with the New York Giants, and Brian Daboll, the offensive genius that he is, we saw what he did with Josh Allen the day he stepped in the door in Buffalo. We saw what he did the first year he got his hands on Daniel Jones in an ability to just scheme up a wonky offense that can move the ball forward. If you gave him a full offseason with Brian Daboll, I would have more confidence in that guy than I would in Daniel Jones. And I only say that also, too, because today they asked Brian Daboll, the offensive genius, the mastermind, hey, how do you get that new weapon, that new target, Malik Nabers, the ball more? And he was answerless today. It feels like Daniel Jones is sucking the whole confidence out of everybody in that locker room. And, you know, Dylan Raiola, he's a breath of fresh air, and he looks like Patrick Mahomes. Just throw it on the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah, see, this is your boy. You and I are very similar in this regard. And I'm going to tell you what's happening right now. I went through a phase in my football fandom that anyone that almost resembled Tom Brady, I thought was going to be the next Tom Brady. A.J. McCarron, Alabama quarterback, I thought was going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. I believe he went in the fifth or sixth round. There was a quarterback by the name of Christian Hackenberg at Penn State. Ooh. When I saw him his freshman year, who was he coached by? Bill O'Brien, Tom Brady's offensive coordinator at times during this Patriots run. I literally tweeted out at Evco Radio, future number one overall pick in the draft. I think Christian Hackenberg was out of the league within a year or two. You have fallen in love the way that I fell in love with Tom Brady. You have officially, as a newly minted over the last few years Kansas City Chiefs fan, you have fallen in love with Mahomes. That anyone that looks like Mahomes, you are now putting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've done that. I was wrong, and you're going to be wrong.
You're right.
You're going to have to deal with it the hard way, but you have fallen in love, and you're looking for your lover's twin is basically what it comes down to.
And here's the thing. I mean, have you ever seen, even with those guys, with Hackenberg and with A.J. McCarron, who you said resembled Tom Brady, nobody has ever resembled a quarterback more than what Dylan Raiola's been doing at Nebraska in literally cosplaying Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Well, okay, so there's a difference here.
Yeah.
When I say resemble, I mean like in college they played that way. Yours is like the literal and not the figurative. But can we focus on two things here?
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't mean to take over.
You do it every time. You do it every time, Evan.
You're damn right I do. there's a major – well, I'll tell you, there's only one show I'm going to do it on in addition to ours here on ESPN West Palm.
What's up?
And that's yours.
Yeah, come on.
That's yours.
Bring it. Theoretically speaking, you were part of the brain trust here for the name.
There is a show that I will now, as of this moment, boycott. I won't go on. I won't talk about it. You know what I'll do? I'll call it Railroad. RR, you know, because that show that all of a sudden is on the air for about 2 weeks thinks they run the place.
They do.
I heard about a little Mount Rushmore action. Original. Nobody's ever done the Mount Rushmore bit before.
Yeah. Just their second week, they're running out of ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Pete Rose Hall of Fame, 888-760-3776. That's going to be – is NASCAR a sport? I mean, what are they doing next? I mean, my God.
Jordan LeBron.
Jordan
LeBron. That's really when you know you lost it.
That show wants to go out there and talk about the Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm. Hey, Railroad, what studio are you in?
They failed to mention that. They were sitting
What studio are you doing the show from?
They were sitting in the Evan Cohen Studios here in City Place in downtown West Palm Beach, and they were reluctant to put you on the Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm. You did this thing for like 20 years down here.
There's a factual answer to the question, right? When you think about the Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm, it is a factual answer. It is not even to be debated. There are four clear-cut answers. And you know what, Theo? I ain't going to give them out because everyone should know. If you know, you know. Because I'm not going to play favorites. I'm not going to pick and choose like the railroaders did, who are railroading me off the tracks. and you off the tracks. I didn't hear them pay homage to you.
They didn't. They didn't even mention it. They didn't even consider it.
I didn't hear them say, hey, the guy who was on from in part of that time slot previously, who voluntarily owned, and nobody does what you did in radio.
Come on.
Where you're like, you know what? I'm good. I got 2 to 4. Works well for me. Works well for my wife. Works well for my family. Works well for the fact that I, Theo Dorsey, am the face of this place and the voice. Not just the voice, like the railroaders.
Yeah.
The face. Okay? Play. Right? And you said, you know what? You know what, Young Bucks? I'll move over. I'm a team guy. Like, we're here to win. I got you. And you gave them that. And now they want to railroad you.
It's crazy, man.
They want to railroad. They want to railroad me. And the biggest railroading, let's be honest, you want to debate one person who runs that place?
Man.
Good luck surviving any of you without Stephanie Prince. Any one of you. That starts with her and ends with her. If you're going to debate if she's on that list, you railroaders, we will see if that Brightline train gets all the way, the railroad.
Here's the thing, too. When they put Stephanie Prince, by the way, who is our general manager, market manager, as I call her, but general manager here at ESPN West Palm, they put her on there almost like a throw-in. They said Steve P.
Like, we have to. We have to. Well, listen, you know, and I mean this. There are some of us, and I believe you and I are of these people. And I, to be fair, I used to think the railroaders were like this. There are some of us that really would do this, not forever, but for a while, for nothing, because it is that fun. It is that rewarding getting to do what we do for a living.
We love
but
it.
Guess what Stephanie ensures? She ensures that my PNC bank account is paid every couple of weeks. So you know what? Railroaders, R&R, you know, you get paid thanks to her.
We'll see.
And you are not going to be. Let me rephrase. You did.
I was about to say, they will see how they respond at 4 o'clock here on ESPN 106.3. You won't say the name, but I will. Russo and Rizzo. These are my teammates. We're still lockstep, but I'm perturbed by the omission of me as at least an honorable mention. And also, I think the corniest part about their Mount Rushmore, Evan, I think you'll agree, the first guy that they both volunteered and signed up and almost high-fived over throwing on there in Brian McLevin-Rowitz, that's their direct manager. They went straight for their manager and just tried to glaze him up. I thought that was kind of, that was a little weak. So, not that he doesn't deserve to be on there.
I'm just saying. Listen, the other thing is, so now that we've dealt with that, now let's deal with your show. I am dying to have the conversation. When we have more time and he gets back, about what in the world C-Cat is doing with this vacation.
Did you hear?
This is one of the weirdest. He's going to Italy, but didn't know he was going? What is happening? Explain this to me.
So C-Cat, he went to a travel agent some months ago, him and his girlfriend. They paid a substantial amount of money, and the perk of this, the benefit of this money that they gave the travel agent was that they would get a random. They would get a random place for a vacation for the two of them. They went to the Miami airport literally this morning. Without knowing where they were going, they packed their bags, they were ready to roll for a whole week, and they found out at the airport where they're flying to. And yes, you gave it away. I was going to give it away in the next segment with Tina, but yes, it's all good.
My bad. I'm sorry.
It's all good. But yes, they're going to the Amalfi Coast. They're going to Italy. I'm extremely happy for them because what a beautiful place to land when you're over here rolling the dice, when you're shaking the magic eight ball and seeing what pops up. I think he's absolutely insane for doing this, and his girlfriend, she's strong for standing with him on it.
Very weird. So what did we learn today? Let's just be clear on a couple things. We learned that you have fallen in love with Patrick Mahomes so much so that anyone that looks like him you think is amazing. That is a fascinating topic in itself. I guarantee you fans of Theoretically Speaking have that player or person in sports that they are like, because I love that person, I also have loved this person, which makes no sense, right? But that's what's happening with you, where you're making these claims that the Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones, and all these people, like none of them would be as good as Dylan Rayola of Nebraska because you love Mahomes, and that guy does too. We learned that. We learned that we have railroaders, people trying to knock other people off the tracks between 4 and 6, and I will boycott that show. I will boycott that show, won't even mention them by name, and I will only be a part of the Theoretically Speaking Nation.
That's what I'm
a part of right now.
That's what I'm talking about. That is a glowing recognition.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Theoretically.
Right, you know what? Is JMP hosting
Gosh. What a disaster. By the way,
I didn't see either of those two trains on the railroad hosting yesterday at the Breakers.
Oh, no.
Did you?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. They did. They bought tickets to see you host.
That's right.
That's a Mount Rushmore right there. They bought the tickets to see you up there. While they're sitting in the crowd, you know, they're not up there. You're up there.
They were great. Hey, but you know what? They were great audience members. They were supportive, and those are my guys, right? We got a picture in at the end. It was a great time at the Breakers. And, man, I tell you, you stayed at the Breakers, Evan. Just going to the Breakers, like I feel like I'm in a whole new life, a whole new level of paradise out there. It's amazing. And yeah, I put your business out there.
You
stay out there a lot.
You know, now we're talking. You know what happens when you're part of a Mount Rushmore? You don't stay at the Breakers once. You basically live there.
Ooh, that's a flex.
You know what?
That's a flex.
As my good friend Christopher Wallace once said, "I live out there, so don't go there."
And I want them to hear that. I'm making sure, Damian, make sure we clip this up in case they're in a meeting or something right now. And Russo and Rizzo haven't heard this. We're going to send this to them. We'll try to get their response at 4. But I do appreciate you coming in. One last thing. I did want to get your opinion on this before you do go, Evan, though. The Steelers quarterback situation. I don't think Justin Fields ends up relinquishing his spot. I think this is his chance at generational money. He's a mobile quarterback. Arthur Smith has succeeded with these. That Steelers defense and that offense is going to be just enough to win enough games to where Russell Wilson might not throw a single pass for the Steelers this year because he entered the year with the calf injury. But just based off what you saw Saturday in the 18-10 win against the Falcons, as well as what you know about both quarterbacks, what's your opinion? What's your purview on the Fields-Wilson situation in Pittsburgh?
I want you to be wrong, even though I'm a part of Theoretically Speaking. I think you're probably going to be right. I think Fields is going to keep the job. I thought it was going to be Wilson all along. I thought it was going to be Wilson after Sunday. Obviously, I'm wrong. It is more likely, way more likely, you are right than I am right. I think this is now his opportunity to win it. I don't know forever, but at least for a few years potentially here. I don't know that he's going to do it, but I think you're right.
Look at what one season did for Daniel Jones. Evan, appreciate your time, and we'll take care of the railroaders. If I could continue to speak here on Theoretically Speaking as the day progresses. Appreciate you, Doc.
Let's go. Thank you.
That's Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike joining us on the Baptist Health Hotline. I got so worked up over there as he reminded me how I didn't even get considered for the Mount Rushmore, as well as the fact that my own general manager here, Stephanie Prince, was a throw-in for their Mount Rushmore. And then they compared it to Thomas Jefferson, which I don't know if it's a slight or a compliment. I just got so overwhelmed and emotional there, Damian. So I kind of was at a loss for words. But one place, one thing that I think about that never has me at a loss for words because I'm full of joy and excitement thinking about it, that's got to be the Boca Raton Bowl. And the best part about the Boca Bowl every year is the lead up, the events heading into it. The annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supplies Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. That's heating up on Tuesday, October 15th. Mark your calendars now. Tuesday, October 15th, 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join myself and all of the good folks, the cocktail masters, the breweries, the local chefs, as we're going to be at Brick in Boca Raton. Tickets are on sale right now. Includes all food samplings, entertainment, some by me, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. You can purchase your tickets today. On the other side, we strap up our seatbelts and get on the Safebound Get Around, plus an update to our Sunshine Standings. See where Florida State lands on the Sunshine Standings, ranking the top 7 college football teams in the state of Florida. As Damian Perez, I'm Theo Dorsey. Big shouts to Evan Cohen from the Mount Rushmore. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Talking about players in football we feel bad for just a week into the season. And, well, after what I just saw is trending on Twitter with Shannon Sharpe, I'm starting to feel bad for him. Won't make any mention of it, but just a couple days after publicly feuding on his podcast with Ocho Cinco, publicly kind of belittling him, there seems to be a little bit of I don't know what that is. Clicked on it, clicked right out after I heard a second of it, and I'll leave it at that. Damian, we need to make sure we tap in on these Sunshine standings. We're ranking the top college football teams in the state of Florida. We're now through a couple of weeks here of college football. We have much greater data points, especially some on the Florida State Seminoles. So how about we do that before we do the get around? And there's a good chance we save that get around actually for the happy hour with Tina. Let's get into the Sunshine standings here. And typically speaking, you start your standings from the bottom up. But there's a reason why today we're going to start from the top down. It's because a couple teams are going to be playing each other in the Sunshine standings here in the state of Florida. Let's start at number one, though, and that's going to be your Miami Hurricanes. Cam Ward looks poised for a trip to New York to end the season as a potential Heisman finalist. And those Miami Hurricanes look like a team that's going to finish their regular season in Charlotte in the ACC championship game. There's no reason to feel like any team in the ACC is more poised to win that conference than the Canes, outside of the fact that they've had, well, 20 years in a conference with no championships and just one appearance. So number one on the Sunshine standings, Miami, and that's easy to call. Number two on the Sunshine standings, you got Florida. The Florida Gators, who are going to be at home this weekend to Texas A&M. The big question with Florida is, does Billy Napier have the guts and the ability to bench Grant Mertz and start the guy who literally looked like a promising future Gator, a guy that could be competing for Heismans down the road, and DJ Lagway? That guy's the future. But I don't know. Based on promises to Mertz, as well as based on NIL deals, I'm not sure if Billy Napier can bench him. He said both players today, both players are taking first-team reps in practice. That should tell you everything you need to know about the state of the quarterback battle in Florida. So Miami 1, Florida number 2. At number 3, here goes the shocker, UCF. UCF out of the Big 12, they jump Florida State. They got TCU on the road this weekend. If the Knights can beat TCU, they'll feel strong at number 3. But right now, they're more so number 3 because of who's at number 4, and that's the defeated. Last year, they were the undefeated Seminoles. This year, they are the defeated, the most defeated team in college football right now, with losses in two continents. Florida State, they've got Memphis at home. If Mike Norvell loses at home to his former Memphis Tigers, I literally don't know if he can get out of Doak Campbell as the head coach of Florida State. And I believe in the guy. I have confidence in him. It just feels like everything else is shattering around him. And DJ Uiagalelei is taking all of the blame for it. Let's not act like this guy didn't win at other stops. All right? He just came off of an 8-win season with Oregon State. Florida State's at number 4. Their issues go beyond the quarterback position. At number 5, you got USF rounding out the top 5. USF, who Byron Brown, he gave Bama some fits for the first half in the quarter. Like, they keep on putting scares on Bama. Do they have a shot to pass up Florida State? Am I crazy, Damian? If eventually, like, let's say they do get a win this weekend and Florida State loses to Memphis, FSU could drop to 5. I might have to put the Bulls at 4.
I mean, at that point, they'd be 0-3 with basically no hope. Like, where is that shining light at the end of the tunnel? I don't think they would have it.
The Noles are just 6.5-point favorites against Memphis this weekend. That's not good. That's not good. At home against Memphis. At number 6, we still have the FAU Owls. They also have not picked up a win yet, but at number 7 is FIU. We got the Shula Bowl this weekend. I actually went to the Owls practice this morning. Those Owls look ready to go. All right, they had a battle with Michigan State on the road to open the season. It's always weird when you play one of the armed forces teams, so they did take a loss, a pretty sizable loss there. I think at home in a game against FIU in the Shula Bowl, they are going to have their breakout. I think they're going to be able to have their way with an FIU team that, I mean, their only calling card right now is that they got Pitbull Stadium. That's their thing. Pitbull Stadium. They'll be number 7.
Dolly.
We'll see what happens, though. We'll see what happens at the Shula Bowl. That's going to be a fun one, Dolly. But he ain't going to be there. You know, he shouldn't be there for an FAU game on the road. And if you're FAU right now and you're Tom Herman, you can't start 0-3, and you especially can't have that capitalized with a loss against your rival who you're used to beating up on. I look for a strong Owls bounce back game this Saturday, and that's not just hope casting. It's just reality. Those dudes are better than what they've shown in the first 2 weeks. Those are your Sunshine standings as we keep you up to date with the top teams in college football in the state of Florida. And we started the season with Florida State number 1 and Miami number 2. Even when I gave those preseason rankings, I told you, Miami's the best team in the state of Florida. I was just giving respect to the Noles, and they instantly lost it. On the other side, we bring in Tina for the happy hour. It's Theoretically Speaking, my guy Damian Perez in for C-Cat, who's off to the Amalfi Coast. I didn't even say that right. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Theoretically Speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. No better time than now to have a happy hour. I mean, it's past 3 o'clock. You're at Theoretically Speaking. It's a Wednesday, a hump day. And we're joined by none other than Tina in the Wild. What's happening?
Hello. I love it. I love happy hour.
Do you still do your thing? Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Yes.
I haven't done that in a really long time.
Where does that come from?
Is
that like it just came out of nowhere one day, you yelled it out as you were excited?
I think it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
One day, and then it was just my thing.
For me, the good people, I think it's just because I like good people.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to be talking to good people, not bad people. Bad people, I mean, you know, leave them alone.
I'm like, let's get ready and go. Like, let's do this.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm ready. And that's just where it came from.
I like it. You bring the energy. We bring the energy. We don't have C-Cat with us today. In his place, we have Damian Perez on the ones and twos on the other side of the glass. C-Cat is off to the Amalfi Coast. I keep saying it wrong, but Sorrento on the Amalfi Coast, he's going to Italy with his girlfriend, and he just found out this morning at the Miami airport.
When he sent us that picture of where he was going, my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way. That is insane.
Yeah.
Like, what a place. I feel like they couldn't send you to a bad place.
They
can't
send you to a bad place, but I don't know if there's a better place to be randomly sent to.
Right?
Like Italy, you're going to the coast.
I want to know like what other options there were.
Yeah.
And like too, like do they just like pick out of a hat? Like this couple is going to go here and this couple is going to go here. I learned today though that it's just him and his girlfriend. Like it's not a group.
No. Yeah, see, I would not want to go in a big group,
but
though.
But that would make me nervous, and this is maybe me as a planner, where I need to know, like, how are we getting there from, like, are we driving? Do we Uber? Like, what is going on?
You're going to the airport. You're flying out of the country.
But do they fully plan everything? Like, you don't have to worry about a thing. Like, here you're staying. Here, there's a car that'll pick you up to do this.
Yes.
That's where I want to know those details from C-Cat of, like, how much really... Like, is it planned?
That's what I'm curious to know, but I do know in my previous stops or stints working with travel planners. Have you ever used a travel agent to take a trip?
I did it one point, but we didn't go like through with it.
Yeah. So I've used a travel agent before, and they do map out all of those things. They will do as much or as little as you kind of request them to. That's kind of like the package that you end up getting with them. And yeah, like they'll get you transportation. Definitely. They'll make sure you have a place to stay. They'll, you know, obviously book the travel portion of it. And also a lot of times they'll have itinerary for you in the city. They'll give you some options of excursions or places to eat or whatnot, because I'm sure in their industry, I'm guessing there's like a network of travel agents or some kind of resource book where they're able to like know where to send tourists to. So I'm sure he has the good hookup. We'll further discuss this as we get more deep into the happy hour. But that's why C-Cat's not here. And he's in literally a better place. You know what people say? He's okay. He's perfectly fine. He's in a better place.
Yes.
Amalfi Coast.
Yes.
Sorrento,
I can't wait
Italy.
To hear about this whole trip.
This is absolutely great. Nobody's feeling bad for him. We could have been if they sent him somewhere poor, somewhere that he didn't want to show up to. But here in the NFL, we got to talk about how there's literally players on the other side of the ball feeling bad for how bad they're doing dudes. Remember how yesterday we talked about Daniel Jones and the New York Giants team, and you said, oh, I feel bad for Daniel Jones.
We're always talking bad about him, yes.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm not even the type of dude to hate or pour on to a guy or try and cause any more dissension than needs to be. But Daniel Jones already got his bag, mm-hmm. and he's obviously a subpar quarterback in the NFL. The only reason why I don't feel bad for the dude is he still is getting opportunities to start. He's getting every opportunity in the world to prove himself, and he has a mega contract already in the NFL. He's set. He's good. He's not like some of these other dudes, like a Zach Wilson. I feel more bad for Zach Wilson, who went to the Jets and got jetsed. And then now he's not going to get a huge second contract unless he stumbles into a better situation. He got beat out by Bo Nix with the Broncos. He's like a third stringer right now.
Oh, I feel bad for Zach Wilson.
The first event I ever covered for ESPN West Palm was the Boca Bowl 2020 right here over there at FAU Stadium, BYU versus UCF, Zach Wilson. He was at the height of his career.
Oh, yeah. They destroyed UCF.
Beat him, bludgeoned him so bad that he capped off his senior year at BYU by getting drafted number 2 overall to the Jets. The world was in his hands. Everybody was talking about how attractive he and his mother were, and here we are now 4 years later, and Zach Wilson is like a third-string quarterback behind Bo Nix.
That's life, though, in the NFL. Like, that could be your path in the NFL. That you really have no idea. You could be this star college player, and then you could rise and be one of the best, or it just doesn't work out.
It could. That's what, not for long.
Yeah.
That's what they say the NFL is. But that's why I say I don't feel bad for Daniel Jones. The sad part is literally a defender from the Minnesota Vikings, an edge rusher, and Jonathan Greenard, after they beat up and bullied the Giants and won 28-6 on the road in a game where the Giants never really had a shot, that offense never got going, he said in an interview with WFAN, we started to feel bad for Daniel Jones. While they were playing, while he was doing his job, which was to make Daniel Jones' life a living hell, Greenard said, we started to feel bad for him. And that got me thinking about who in football or the NFL I actually feel bad for. And I don't feel bad for Daniel Jones. I feel bad for his teammates. I feel bad for guys like Malik Nabers, who just last year, he was at LSU breaking records for the Tigers, catching footballs from a Heisman-winning quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and had all the confidence in the world, had everything going for him. Now he's with the Giants, hoping that when he gets open, Daniel Jones will find him, hoping that when he gets open, not only will Daniel Jones look to him and know how to get through his progressions the right way, but throw the ball accurately to him. And on top of that, when he doesn't do it, he's left going to the locker room and having to answer questions from the New York media about a quarterback that he has no faith in, the fans have no faith in, the coaching staff has no faith in, and the media knows that. So he's 21 years old, and he's having to try to stick up for a quarterback that is a kind of a dead man walking in New York right now. It's going to be an abysmal season for Giants fans if Brian Daboll can't figure some things out. And I feel bad for everybody around Daniel Jones, not the quarterback himself. You said you felt bad for Daniel Jones. Is there anybody else just in football in general you actually just feel bad for, you have sympathy for because of their situation?
I kind of feel bad for Russell Wilson.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
I feel bad for him. Like, he was at the top. Like, he's got this amazing family, this amazing wife, and now he is with my Steelers.
Yep.
But now he's the backup to Justin Fields. And, like, I feel like, too, like, he was at the top, and just these past few seasons, he's just, like, declined. And then I feel like the media, too, doesn't help. You know, he wears the sunglasses and, you know, so I feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's saying here, of course, he's been out right now. The reason why Justin Fields is the quarterback, in the offseason, leading up through the preseason, Mike Tomlin said, Russell Wilson is in pole position to start for the Steelers. He had the job pretty much won. Well, he's old.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that calf injury during the offseason and through preseason. And it's seeming like that's something that reports are saying can linger throughout the year. And when you are that old right now, you're over the hill, mobility is an issue, you have a calf injury, and behind you, you have a guy like Justin Fields, who also is on a prove-it deal. They're both on one-year deals in Pittsburgh. They both are fighting for that next contract, for an opportunity to be a quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years, not just to win this year. Justin Fields has the locker room right now. He has the quarterback position, and they got a win in the opening week against the Falcons. I don't think Russell Wilson throws a pass for the Steelers this year unless Justin Fields gets hurt. I don't think he's giving up that starting quarterback position.
I think, too, like, I feel more bad for the veterans and the older, like, athletes in the NFL because, like, too, for your situation, for, like, the Giants, like, that the one kid is, like, young. He just got in the league. He has time. Being a veteran, like, this, you have no idea, like, really when your final year is, when you're going to retire and, like, imagine the veterans on the Giants or those who are maybe coming to the end of their career and this is like what they are having to work with. Like, I feel more bad for them than the younger, you know, athletes in the NFL.
You're right, because those young guys on the Giants, like, a lot of times you can get paid based off of how well the team does. And a lot of that is all going to be centered around quarterback play. Like, coaches, their jobs get saved because of quarterback play. General managers in the NFL, they can be lofted up because a quarterback is doing a good enough job of making things happen on the field. But also, people don't talk enough about players. Like, look at how many guys Tom Brady got paid in all of his years in New England. Look at the guys that Patrick Mahomes is starting to continue to get paid in Kansas City when they leave the Chiefs, or guys that are being brought in there to Kansas City on prove-it deals and doing well. Like, it happens. Juju Smith-Schuster's a guy who won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. The Patriots give him a deal. Now he's back with the Chiefs because he was no good with New England.
Yeah.
He got propped up by good quarterback play. Those guys with the New York Giants right now, just because of the position they were drafted into, you know, they didn't choose to go there. Malik Nabers didn't choose to go there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But just because where they were drafted or if they were traded for or through free agency, now they are being held back by a teammate who just doesn't seem to have it. It's his sixth year, and while everybody's lining up and feeling bad for and having pity parties for Daniel Jones, I'm doing so for his teammates. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's understandable.
Speaking of teammates, Tina, we had a couple of new teammates yesterday.
Yeah.
Who took on the tall task. And Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo, who you hear here on weekdays, following Theoretically Speaking from 4 to 6 p.m. every single weekday. They took on the task, and I don't even think this was like a challenge issue to them. They just came up with this themselves, right?
Totally. I'm not like 100% on that, but yeah. I wouldn't doubt that they came up on their own.
It seemed like it came out of thin air. And we'll ask them about this when we get, I think we'll have Mike Rizzo on the back end. We'll ask him about this on the crossover before we go to Russo and Rizzo. They decided to make a Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm teammates. ESPN West Palm has been here for what, 21 years now? Serving the community, both on the radio airwaves as well as our stint working in local television as well and through events and through digital. Like, ESPN West Palm is a staple in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. And a dude from Ohio and a fella from Connecticut pull up.
They just got here.
They literally still ain't unboxed all their boxes yet. I believe Colin Russo still is sitting in a folding chair in his living room with his TV on top of a storage container.
And he eats on his knees. Like, his plate's on his knees.
Oh, I was about to say, on his knees. Whoa. Colin, rough. Rough lunch to be having.
One of our teammates just gave him a coffee table, by the way.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Nice that teammate donated a coffee table to the guy who walks in here and on week two of Russo and Rizzo, literally like their sixth or seventh episode, they decide, you know what time it is? It's time for us to rank the all-time teammates here at ESPN West Palm over the past two-plus decades. Colin Russo barely been alive as long as ESPN West Palm has been serving this area.
I know.
The audacity. So who they came up with was Brian McLovin-Rowitz, who is our director of content here, who also was on the air for about 10 years or so at least.
He's also their boss.
He's also their direct boss.
Yes.
And that was the first guy they came up with. Oh. Woo, really brave choice there, guys. That's the only one I have a bone to pick with because he's also my direct line of command there. He's my manager. I wouldn't have went with Brian first. Sorry, guy. It's my dude. Wouldn't have went with him first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not a brown noser like that. And then they go with Steve Policiner, and the first word out of their mouth with Steve Policiner, who's a Palm Beach County Sports Commission Hall of Famer. He's obviously Uncle Steve. We love him here on Theoretically Speaking. They said he runs the show. Well, does he? Because the person who runs the show here is Stephanie Prince, the general manager or market manager. And
you better say that.
And they threw her in as a throw-on.
Yes, she was third.
They threw her in as a throw-on. And who was the other person they put on there? Was it J-Mart?
J-Mart.
They put J-Mart on there. Well-deserved. J-Mart's been here at ESPN West Palm since the inception of this thing. He's been doing shows, working behind the scenes. Now, I'm not even sure what his actual job title is, but he's Mr. Do-Everything here and our coach.
Yes.
So
I can tell you what he does, but
what does he do?
He's a senior marketing consultant.
That's the name for it. Senior marketing consultant. I'm not a guy for titles.
I know. It's okay.
You know, I'm not a guy for titles.
Yes, I know. Yesterday we figured that out.
Not a titles guy. I'm that guy. Like that usually comes with usually those kind of guys that say they're not a guy for titles is like disingenuous dating guy. Mm-hmm. That's not me though.
Yeah.
But Tina, you've been here longer than me. You've worked with lots of ESPN West Palm teammates. I'm putting you on the clock here. I'm putting you on the spot. I want you to give us your ESPN West Palm Mount Rushmore right quick. And before you do, as you think about your answer here, give me four. That's what Mount Rushmore is, four people.
Yep.
You knew that. I'm messing with you.
Yeah.
Before you do that, I do want to tell you all about the Kaiser University program of champions. Because at ESPN West Palm, nothing that we touch doesn't succeed. That was a double negative, but don't think about it too hard. Because Kaiser University, they don't overthink what they do on the athletic fields, and it turned into 22 national championships. 22 national championships for the Kaiser University programs, including the reigning champions in football. They got champions out of golf, you have women swimming and diving, men's lacrosse. Like, wherever you look, wherever there's a program, they're winning at the highest level. KUSeahawks.com. Tap in with the Seahawks at KUSeahawks.com. That's how you can stay up to date with all things Kaiser Athletics and celebrate the reigning champions of the NAIA Football Championship Series, KUSeahawks.com. Tina, you're Mount Rushmore at ESPN West Palm, and don't worry, everybody's out of the office right now. Nobody will be able to attack you for it.
Yeah.
So
here's my question, though. I want you to clarify this.
Yes.
Are we talking teammates? Are we talking on-air talent? My fourth spot is just so blurred of who I want to put there. So this will decide.
I would say it has to be, let's just, for the viewing public, for the fans here, let's go with on-air. Let's go on-air talent.
Okay.
And that'll help you out as well in deciding this, because it's not fair to people, because there are people that work a lot of magic behind the scenes here that deserve a lot of credit.
Yes.
But people might not be as familiar with their face or their name. So you're Mount Rushmore of on-air content teammates here at ESPN West Palm. And don't worry, you don't have to include me. I know I was first on your list.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even think about it. Outside of Theo Dorsey, who makes Tina's Mount Rushmore here?
Evan Cohen.
That's an easy one. The studio is literally named after Evan Cohen.
Yes, we're in the Evan Cohen studio. J-Mart.
Another easy one.
Yep.
He's our head coach. He inspires us. He gives words of wisdoms at the end of sales meetings.
Yes.
And he was there for the very first show.
He was. Stephanie Prince.
Steph Prince, market manager / general manager here. She was, what they call her when she was on air here?
They called her the drunk marketing director.
She doesn't like that, right? Drunk marketing director.
She doesn't like that. We don't got to talk about that.
Part of her story.
But she, I wish I was around when she was on the air.
Yeah, me too.
Top 5 at 5 with Steph.
That would be fun.
And my fourth spot.
This is it.
Is going to JMP.
Wow, JMP over.
JMP.
Ooh, over Steve Policiner.
I didn't get to experience Steve.
Wow.
And I feel like my knowledge of Steve and like Steve and Craig was very Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like, and although, again, he's so impactful in South Florida and the community here and here at ESPN West Palm
but he didn't make it.
Didn't make it. It's JMP.
You ain't got to give him all of these. See, this is the thing. And you dog sit Steve's dogs left and right.
I do.
You literally, I mean, maybe that's why his dog locked you out of his house the other day. You don't even believe the guy belongs on the Mount Rushmore here. As much work and
talent.
Sweat equity he's put in at ESPN West. Wow. He's a Hall of Famer.
I know he is.
Wow.
That was really tough.
That's a snub.
Yeah.
JMP. Over Steve Policiner. I like it, though. JMP's, he's a great guy. He's my guy. I would have put Steve P in there.
He's great. My Mount Rushmore, though.
That was fun. I like it. And I can't influence your Mount Rushmore. We'll stick with it. We'll see how that stands up against the test of time. Tina's Mount Rushmore there. In order to actually appreciate Mount Rushmore in real life, you would have to go there. You would have to visit. You'd have to take a trip. And the way that we always travel here on Theoretically Speaking is the Safe Bound Get Around. It's time for that right now, baby. Time to get around. On the Safe Bound Get Around. And the Safe Bound Get Around is, of course, brought to you by Safe Bound Moving and Storage. You are safe with Safe Bound. They are a family-owned company right out of West Palm Beach. The best thing about Safe Bound Moving and Storage is I'm not just talking to you about it. I be about it. My sister, who just moved from Fort Lauderdale, she didn't have to touch a thing there. They came and took care of it for her. She was safe with Safe Boundaries. They got her up to the Peach State with no problems, no qualms. She called me up. She said, yo, great recommendation. Loved it. From start to finish, she had no worries, and it's because they are Florida's moving company. They have the experts that you need. You don't want to be stuck trying to move out of an apartment, a home, or anything yourself because you're going to have some issues. You're going to have some growing pains. How about you go with the pros who do it time after time after time? So whether you're moving out of Florida, into Florida, or from county to county here in the Sunshine State, you're safe with SafeBound Moving and Storage.
Next stop,
San Francisco.
Hey!
Monday's night's Jets 49ers game averaged 20.5 million viewers, making it Monday Night Football's second most watched Week 1 matchup in ESPN's 19 seasons history of airing Monday Night Football.
I actually am, I feel like all the numbers are up around the NFL right now, and particularly I think this is good for the Jets. You got SmackDown in front of all of the nation to open the season up. Expectations couldn't be lower right now for them. And now that that bar is set low, they've got the fourth easiest strength of schedule in the NFL. They've got a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers with a lot to prove. And I think it's time for people to actually buy in on the Jets. They couldn't stop the run at all. They could not do anything to maintain and handle a consistent offense and move the sticks. Aaron Rodgers couldn't even stay on the field. But I think failing in the spotlight to open the season, maybe that's exactly what the fellas out there in East Rutherford needed. Tina, did you watch any of Monday Night Football?
No, I was traveling all day.
Yeah, you were on the move. Yeah, I forgot.
I was on airplanes all day.
Yes. Yeah, well, you didn't miss much. 49ers were just like, boom, boom, boom. And the Jets were like, oh, my gosh, no. And then the game ended. That was it. That was a good recap. Yes. They should pay me to do that.
Next stop.
Indianapolis, Indiana. The Indiana Fever hosts the two-time reigning champions Las Vegas Aces tonight. Caitlin Clark needs 11 assists to break the WNBA record for total assists in a season. Will she do it?
She's going to break that record. Maybe not tonight. Maybe not tonight, but the Fever actually have four more regular season games left. Let me tell you all of the records that Caitlin Clark is positioned to break in her rookie season. Number one, she's 53 points shy of breaking the rookie points record for a season. So she would have to average just a little bit above like 12 or 13 points a game over these next four. Easily clearable. So that's probably hers. Most assists in a season by any player, like he just said, she's 11 assists away. She's got four games.
She's going to do it.
That's hers.
Yeah.
Most career 25 point and 10 assist games. Notice I didn't say by a rookie. Notice I didn't say in a season. Most career 25 point and 10 assist games, she's one away from that. She could break a career record in her rookie season. That's immaculate. And that's not that much of a cherry-pick stat there. And then most three-pointers made in a season, she needs 18 three-pointers made over the next four games. You average that up, that's about six. That's six three-pointers per game. Did I do that right? No, I didn't. It's less than six. Six times three would be 18. So it's about four. Four three-pointers a game would get her to 16. You know what? I'm not here to do math. I am here to tell you that Caitlin Clark is about to set all these records in the WNBA, but it's happening at the worst time of the year because everybody's just watching and paying attention to college football and the NFL. So I just wanted to make our fans and viewing public aware. Caitlin Clark on the precipice of history. We talk so much about her, Angel Reese, everybody in the WNBA all summer long. Just wanted to give the good people an update. Were you aware of how close Caitlin Clark was to just shattering the record books, Tina?
No, I was not aware.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's a tough, like, it was good when the WNBA started, and it's good that they're in the summer months. It's tough when they end their season because you're ending right as football is taking off, and it's just going to be hard to draw those same numbers. So, just again, just me being a responsible journalist, keeping you guys up to date. By the way, Angel Reese is out for the season with an injury.
I saw that.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Sucks for her and her squad.
Next stop,
Orchard Park, New York. Following the Bills' 34-28 win, Gerald McCoy said on his show, and I quote, "If a person goes out and says Josh Allen is the best quarterback in football, you can't get upset."
Gerald McCoy is right. I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan. And he's right. You can't get upset. Because if a person says that Josh Allen is the best quarterback in football, they're either doing one of two things. Either they're purposefully saying something that's incorrect to draw engagement, to rile you up, to strike a chord, if you will. And you don't want to give that kind of person any kind of engagement. So, yeah, you disregard it. You don't get upset about that. Or, Tina, they literally are an imbecile. They're literally somebody that does not have the proper capabilities and facilities to watch football, conceptualize it, break it down, take it in, and then regurgitate what they just saw. They are like a toddler. And would I get mad at a toddler for knocking over an expensive vase in my living room? A little bit, right? Yeah. I like it, but I'm also mad at myself for leaving that living room not toddler-proof. I'm not going to argue with or get mad at a toddler. They don't know any better. And anybody that says Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes today just doesn't know any better. You don't get mad at that.
You can't get mad at that.
Plus, you think he's a big cutie.
A cutie patootie.
A cutie patootie.
That's what I said, yeah.
He's probably the biggest dude in the history of dudes that can be considered a cutie patootie. It's like 6'5", 260.
You can still be a cutie patootie at 6'5 and 300 pounds.
Who's another big guy that's a cutie patootie? Is there any other like that comes to mind?
Like, he just has though, like he does. He's not like rough, like looking. Like that's why I think he's like a cutie patootie because he like looks like he has like a very good skincare routine, like a soft face. Like he reminds me of just like a teddy bear still.
Wow, it's like the opposite of his actual game. He he plays rough as hell, but he looks just soft and cuddly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice for him. Next up on the Statesbound Get Around.
Next stop,
Australia.
Ooh, down under.
Australian breakdancer Rachel Gunn, who goes by Ray Gunn, is ranked the number one breaker in the world despite not scoring any points at the Paris Olympics with her kangaroo routine.
I really don't give a f-.
Yeah, I can't really be concerned with this. I don't understand. Now the confederation or whatever the committee is, they explained why she's number one. Apparently they don't take the Olympics into consideration. And she won her last competition. So technically, she's number one in breakdancing, even though she's a horrific breakdancer. So that's fine with me. But
that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's a sport around breakdancing. Like, who's getting riled up about that? It was ridiculous they had it in the Olympics. It was ridiculous what kind of performance I saw out there. But I can't get mad at that. And whoever this Ray Gunn gal is, or woman, because she's grown, who's out here, you know, goofing off on the dance floor, acting like she's breakdancing, I wish her well. I don't care that she's number one in a sport that I didn't even know existed like weeks ago.
I think like dancers appreciate like breakdancing being in the Olympics, but it is confusing how she's number one, but the performance we saw at the Olympics like was... Yeah, she became a meme. Like, she became, like, viral for all the wrong reasons.
She didn't score a single point, I believe, in that performance. And it felt like she was making a mockery of it. And I think that's what rubbed people the wrong way. It's like, okay, it's cool you're putting this dance, this sport, on the spotlight, on the big stage. But for you to make a mockery of it, people are going to be a little incensed by it. Especially when some people... You know, some people depict it as cultural appropriation and making a mockery of it, which doesn't sit right with some folks.
No.
Ending the get around, the safe bound get around on a heavy note here. Oof. Yikes. Let's get on off the get around. Let's move on with our show because we have to dedicate some time to this, some time to our guy, C-Cat, who is on the go right now. He's off to the Amalfi Coast. In Italy, he's off to Sorrento. His vacation looks extravagant from the outside looking in. Can't wait to see all the pictures and videos, but we got to break down what the heck is going on with our absentee producer. That is Damian Perez in for C-Cat. She's Tina. It's the happy hour on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
The homie Kesey, she told me she joined to see if we would be talking about Shannon Sharp. Sorry to tell you, you won't be hearing any Shannon Sharp updates here. I'll just, again, stay away from Twitter. Do not search the good fella's name, and we keep it moving. Don't ask either, Tina. I see you looking at me with a puzzled face.
Well, I'm totally going to search after the show.
I mean, yeah, you can search after the show. Just don't tell anybody I told you to.
Okay.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird going on with Shannon Sharp. We're going to need some clarification soon.
Oh.
Hoping Ankh recovers well from whatever the heck is going on. It looks like he might have got hacked or I don't know. Some kind of Instagram Live situation.
Oh.
I'm giving you too many teasers. Now you want to leave the show and find out. No, we will not be addressing that here on Theoretically Speaking. I can tell you this, though. If I mean, Ankh is an older dude with Shannon Sharpe. I mean, there's a lot of people that, again, have these things, these ailments that come along with age or maybe with wear and tear. And if you are somebody who is feeling any kind of ailment with joint pain, and, well, let's just say, is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery, as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. We got my guy Mike Rizzo just pulling up in
Does
the studio.
Not, he should know better when the on-air sign is on. Pull you don't come in.
You got something to say? Come on. No, get over
no,
here, man.
No, he thinks
get
it's his
here.
Time to come,
no,
on,
come
right
on,
now.
Pull up.
It's
Mike
not.
Rizzo. Mike Rizzo is coming on for the crossover.
And he's early. I'm still here, Rizzo.
He's early. He tries to commandeer your spot here. And he thinks just because he's wearing a nice button-up shirt today that he can just, you know, move his weight around.
You
We're
would
not
think
happening.
Being in radio for a few years, he knows when the on-air sign is on. You don't walk in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope.
He doesn't know when the on-air sign is on. He doesn't know how to respect those kind of boundaries and rules. Plus, he just moves here from Ohio.
Yeah.
Literally, we're actually Peoria, Illinois, where he was doing his radio show. Literally, like, less than a month ago, and he gives us his Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm that's been here for 21 years.
Yeah.
The audacity.
Who are they?
The audacity.
Who do they think they are?
Well, I don't know. I guess
in
we have to continue
defense,
to find out.
In his defense, the on-air sign is not on.
Is yours on? Yours is on.
So really, that's your fault then, Damian Perez?
No. If Damian's is on, that means ours is on.
Did I just throw myself
under
the bus?
Yeah, I think you just did. You're the producer of this show right now, and if our on-air sign isn't on, it's because you didn't push the right button or something.
Yours is on. Mine is not.
Okay.
There we go.
So he came in this studio, though. He came in our studio where the on-air sign is on, which is a stop sign to anybody with a radio brain, and Mike Rizzo has one of the best radio brains I know. So that was just disrespect. That's what it's got to be.
He's trying to take some of my time.
Literally less than 24 hours off of him not even considering me for the Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm.
His debut on ESPN 106.3 was with me.
Yes.
I was on with him, and I didn't even make it.
When you
were out one day, and his debut.
You're right. You were on that Tuesday.
I was on that day.
Yeah, theoretically speaking.
Yeah.
He pulled up and pinch hit for me, and now he's not only interrupting us mid-show, he's also leaving us off of his Mount Rushmore. He didn't consider you, Tina.
Wow.
We got a bone to pick. We got a bone to pick with that show. Evan, like, I didn't even realize I was mad at them until Evan Cohen gave me that inkling of an idea, and he has incited some rage in your boy. And we got Micah in the YouTube chat here at Theo Speaking on YouTube saying, Unk wildin', and certainly he is. Certainly he is. Also wildin', our guy C-Cat, who's on the road right now, he's off to the Amalfi Coast, Italy. He's off to Sorrento with his girlfriend and a surprise trip, a random trip. My question to you, Tina, because again, C-Cat went to the airport this morning. He did not know where he was going to go until he got to the Miami International Airport. They found out they were going to one of the best destinations literally in the world.
Ever.
Would you ever take that kind of risk? Because it wasn't like he won this trip. He paid a lot of money in advance for somebody to set up a random trip for him. Would you be brave enough and adventurous enough, Tina in the Wild, to do something like that?
No way. I'm too much of a planner. I need to know. My brain needs to know exactly what's going on at all times. Like, I need to know, like, why do you want to do this? What are we doing? Who's going to be there? Like, I have to know everything going on to just, like, have, like, be at ease.
Yeah.
If I don't, like, anxiety is up there. Like, nope, I would never do that. Unless I knew the options. Like, that's what I want to know from him. Like, did you have like a list of places that you knew like it's going to be one of these 10?
No. He said, well, we'll get clarification when he gets back here next week because it's a week-long trip. From what he told me, the parameters going in were these are the places we don't want to go. These are the places we've been and don't want to go back to.
Okay.
And these are the types of vacations we want to go on. So like maybe if you definitely wanted a beach involved, you would check that box, right? So you're giving them hints. It's almost like you have a waiter and they're like, well, what do you like? And you're like, well, I'm big on pasta. Do you have any good pastas and seafood? Seafood pasta combination. and then they pick a dish for you or something like that. That's what he did, but vacation-wise, and he lucked up.
Yeah,
like
he did.
We know that much because they could have sent him anywhere. I don't want to start naming places and offend anybody, but they could have sent him anywhere, and that is a prime destination spot. So we're going to have to get some pictures and tales from him when he returns from it. I agree. I don't think I could do this currently, as I stated right now, with my wife, mainly because of her. And I would do this like back with like single Teddy, you know what I'm saying? When I was mixing, moving, cool, like I could, because I can stay anywhere. The biggest biggest barrier for me and my wife, Ashley, would be she's very particular about the room in which we're staying in.
Mm-hmm.
So she wouldn't want a travel agent just picking out the room. It's not necessarily about the destination. We can go to a random destination, but like she likes a really nice environment to live in and stay in. And if we're not able to handpick that ourselves, I don't think she would want to go on the vacation.
Yeah, I bet you, though, your wife Ashley could plan an amazing trip.
Oh, yeah. We do great trips all the time.
Yeah, you guys do. So.
But she's so particular about rooms. Like, even we have a couple trips coming up soon. One of them where we're going to on Saturday to North Carolina. And then we're flying that Sunday morning up to New York the very next day. So we're staying in a hotel in North Carolina one night, hotel in New York the next night, and then flying back to Palm Beach County on Monday morning.
I can't keep up with you, too.
Well, I mean, I don't travel as much as Dean Thomas, who's pulling up tomorrow.
I know.
Yeah. So yeah, he's really the motion man. But I literally had anxiety picking out the hotel rooms for both Carolina and New York, even though they're one-night stays, and we're just trying to pick something close to the airport for convenience, because she will not stay in a place that's not up to par with her standards. She refuses to. She will let me buy that hotel. We get there. And she would buy another hotel while we're there and go there.
Wow.
She's that, like, just straight up, I don't want to call it stubborn, but she has that high of standards for where she's putting her head at night. And I guess I don't blame her.
You were tasked to find the hotel?
I'm always tasked to find the hotel.
Okay.
Because I also have, like, a lot of the hookups. Like, I'm a diamond member of certain places and stuff. So I like to be able to find a good discount, a deal.
Yeah.
But she's so picky about those things. So I got to be cautious of that. So a random vacation to a random country we can do, but like I would need to at least be able to pick where we're staying. I'm curious how good of a room C-Cat and his girlfriend were able to get out there in Italy.
So many questions that we'll have for C-Cat when he gets back.
It's going to be good.
It is.
It's going to be good. Hopefully they're having a good time. And also, I wonder what he's going to do. This particularly is a good one here. Thankfully, his girlfriend is a big football fan.
Yes.
But when you're on vacation and it's the second NFL season or NFL week of the season, and you got so many different games you're going to want to watch, how do you play that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're out at the beach, you're out at the coast of Italy. You want to go out and explore and enjoy yourself. Are you going to have the phone with you? Are you second screening it as you're moving around? Are you sitting inside of your room watching games all day? I'm curious how he takes on this coming Sunday. More than anything else.
I know she's super into the fantasy as well. So she might be into it.
We're all in the fantasy league together.
Yeah. Oh, love that.
Yeah.
She might be totally fine with him having his phone like on and, you know, up and whatnot while they're doing their adventures. But
yeah,
we'll have to see.
It's interesting. It's just one
day.
They
might have something planned though. They might be like, hey, you're going to take a sailboat somewhere or whatever. Like they might have something planned to where like, hey, you can't. And then C-Cat's just going to go crazy.
He might miss out on a whole weekend of football. We'll have to fill him in when he comes back. But that is one of those interesting things. When you plan a trip, I had my honeymoon literally the weekend of the Super Bowl. We got married on that Friday. We left for our honeymoon Super Bowl Sunday morning. My Kansas City Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl. But I had already pre-worked it out with my wife that we'll have our fun all through the day. We'll check into the the resort early and everything. But once the Super Bowl kicks off, we need to be locked in one place. I got to watch Mahomes go for number three.
For you, though, I feel like it was like almost perfect timing. Like the wedding just happened on Friday. Like you're still unwinding and exhausted that like the first night that you're there, I think that's probably totally fine that you like are having like a night in room service, put on the game. Colin Russo thought it was insane that you did that and planned your wedding around that. But what does he know?
I mean, he's a Jaguars fan.
Yeah.
So he would never have to worry about planning a wedding. He can plan whatever he wants on Super Bowl Sundays for the next 20 years. So that is the luxury, I guess, of being a Jaguars fan. Tina, appreciate you pulling up on this Wednesday. So glad that we have you every day now, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow when we bring in Dean Thomas.
Yes, he'll be here.
We were getting our first Dean Thomas appearance in this setting, in the new 2-hour block, so that'll be fun. Damian Perez right there, Tina right here. On the other side, we bring in Mike Rizzo, who's going to have to answer for his sins of breaking the number one rule of radio, and that's busting through a door when you see an on-air sign, as well as we got to go through some of these picks because me and C-Cat got put over the coals with our punchline picks. It was ugly, Tina.
I heard.
We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We got the guy. We got the guy. Mike Rizzo is in from Russo and Rizzo, which is next up here on ESPN 106.3. He's fired up. He's ready to go. He's two buttons down on the
Hang
shirt.
On.
Love
you
it.
You told me.
I love it.
It's the greenie look.
Yes. It's the greenie. Yeah. It's the greenie. You have
the greenie.
You have the dress shirt, two buttons down. You're showing a little chest. You're in South Florida. You're comfortable. You're looking good, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it, Thee. Now, listen, brother, I did want to say I probably should have thought of you. All right.
Yeah.
I want you to, man to man. I probably should have thought of you.
Okay.
Okay. Is that fair enough? That's it.
That's all I want.
Probably should have thought of you, but hindsight 2020, I can't change the list I had. And I think I had a pretty strong list.
We're talking about Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm, Russo and Rizzo, which now is being called Railroad by Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike because he did so many years here in West Palm Beach helping make this market what it is. And Russo and Rizzo came on the air yesterday after 1 week of radio shows here, and they said, we're doing a Mount Rushmore, and y'all almost left Evan Cohen off.
I did not leave Evan off, okay?
You didn't?
I did not leave him off. My list was Steve Pollitt Sr., and
okay.
A lot of people have a problem with that around here. I want to let everyone know, okay? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Steve P., Uncle Steve, as we call him on this show.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's number one.
Okay.
I put Evan number two. I have the film. I know it's radio.
Yeah.
I have the audio.
And video.
And video of me putting Evan Cohen number two. Theo, I started as an intern in Cleveland in 2015. Evan was our content director. When you heard the name Evan Cohen in Cleveland, it struck fear into your heart.
Yeah.
I am a God-fearing Catholic, okay? I fear Evan Cohen. So I don't know why I'm being roped into this mess right now and being called the railroad.
I mean, that's
right?
Because you're part of the show. Y'all walk in unison. Y'all walk in lockstep.
I am the one who reminds the young Colin Russo that we're doing the show in the Evan Cohen studios.
Yeah.
I know to respect my elders. So I don't, you know what? I know Evan knows I love him dearly, but I don't appreciate him going at my neck like that.
Man.
I don't. I gave him my respect. He knows, he's a big reason I'm here in South Florida. I understand that. I can't promise you what Colin Russo is going to do on the air. I have no idea. I have no idea what Colin Russo has planned at 4 o'clock. You guys are all going to have to stick around and find out what's going to happen.
I'm a little nervous myself.
But yeah, but I know Evan's listening. I know he's boycotting our show.
Yeah.
But Evan, I'm a God-fearing man, brother. When you heard that name, Evan Cohen, in the Cleveland office, struck fear in your heart.
I still shake a little bit when I hear the name Evan Cohen sometimes, man.
That's what I mean.
Look, here's the thing, too. What the hell gave y'all the audacity and the idea to just throw out there we're going to do a Mount Rushmore of ESPN West Palm? I wasn't listening at the time. How did this come up?
It was something that just came up, and we didn't even think twice about it. And then,
hang on.
The break comes. We walk outside. Our great GM. By the way, you didn't remember Steph was the GM.
She's the market manager. We say market manager.
She is the general manager. We walk out there, and Steph goes, three Riz? Really? And I'm like, all right, we got a problem.
Yeah.
I go, all right, we got a problem.
She's offended. And you threw her on there like, I guess I'll throw Stephanie Prince on there.
I did not say that.
You said it. You said it flippantly. We have the tape, and when y'all play it back on Russo and Rizzo, listen to the tone in which Stephanie Prince was added to that Mount Rushmore.
I had my top four. And listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with my top four. I will defend it.
It's really good. It's really good.
Uncle Steve, Evan Cohen, Steph Prince.
Yeah.
Brian Rowitz.
That's the one you messed up on.
Brian?
That's my guy, but he's not. He's not more.
He came with the place.
J-Mart did. Brian didn't. Brian did not.
Brian's high school coverage.
Okay.
His
Yeah, you know,
his we get knowing of the market.
We get it.
It's just not Brown nosing.
Yeah,
though.
It is a little
this
bit.
Place would be in the ground without Brian Rhodes.
I'm not saying that's not true, but Mount Rushmore, I would go Jay Martyr, JMP first. Before we go, I do want to tell you about Duffy Sports Grill. It's the place you want to catch all of your football action this year, because are you ready for some football? We'll start at Duffy Sports Grill. 30 to that, 80 or more televisions at every single location, at every single Duffy Sports Grill you go to. They got 80 or more televisions. They have your football starters, which include, come on, house-made fried pickles, smoked fish dip, gridiron nachos. That's a delectable treat right there. Plus, my favorite thing about Duffy Sports Grill, you get 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day, whenever you pull up. Duffy'sMVP.com, that's where you can go to become a rewards member. That's where you can go to become an MVP like me and enjoy the football season the right way. Duffy'sMVP.com. At Duffy's, our game is always on. My brother's at Russo and Rizzo.
Hey,
their game is always on
now
as well. They're next on ESPN 106.3.